Sunday, January 15th. President had me, called me at 9, said to come over as soon as I could, that he wanted to fill me in before he met with Henry and me, and he wanted me to sit in the Henry session, but wanted to position me first. He said he'd had a 1.5-hour session last night with Henry and Haig, which had gone very well. I got over at the house about 9:40. President was sitting in the living room with a fire going in the fireplace. Said he had read the Fairley book, or a good part of it, and that he thinks all of our key assistants should read it, because it makes a good point on the need for dissenting views, and he's concerned that maybe we don't handle that adequately. Fairley makes the point that we do a good job in our administration through the NSC, which Kennedy did not do. But he also thinks someone ought to talk to Fairley and make the point to him of the difference between our bureaucracy and the British, that he'd be good to write the story of the reorganization. He then got into some discussion of the schedule for handling Vietnam thing. Wants to have a leaders meeting with just the five briefly, immediately following the cabinet meeting. Then the president makes his speech on television and announces it. He feels he must characterize it and not be nitpicked, so he can't be questioned by Fulbright. Any questioning would be negative. Our concern is what the country thinks, not the Congress, and the Congress will follow the country if we lead it right. The cabinet, therefore, would meet in the cabinet room, and then the five leaders in the Oval Office afterwards. Then the next day, Kissinger would brief the full bipartisan leaders. There'd be no briefing before or after the president goes on Tuesday night. The Kissinger briefing would be on Wednesday and with television. Kissinger has it set that the TV announcement time is 10 o'clock on Tuesday night. Then he feels the cabinet should meet on Thursday on domestic matters and the bipartisan leaders on Friday on domestic. The GOP leaders should meet Wednesday afternoon with Kissinger. So Wednesday we'd have a 9 o'clock bipartisan leaders Kissinger briefing. The president went around and ended up that he ought to be there. That'd be the five plus the committee chairman plus possibly the whips, but not Moss and those people. Then at noon, the press briefing with Kissinger only in the EOB briefing room on live television. He says the opponents are all going to have to build their defenses now. They all said the bombing wouldn't work, so now they have to prove that the settlement is no good. At that point, Kissinger and Haig arrived. There was some discussion of the wording on the bombing stop announcement. And then on the two-letter wording, the president strengthened the wording Kissinger had drafted. Apparently he had reviewed it last night, by saying, in effect, I have approved every section and so forth. He wants to take out the offer to meet with Tu, let Haig use that as a bargaining point in discussion, but not put it in the letter. His strategy there is to keep the whole approach with Tu on our terms, and we don't want to appear to be begging, especially on the record. He wants to be sure that we get people to stop talking about the inaugural as being a deadline point by which we wanted to have an agreement. We should kill that line. Haig made the point that we've got to, the president made the point that Haig must take a very hard line on too, that he's here only as a messenger, not to negotiate, that the president has been totally in charge of all of this, and he will go ahead regardless of what too does. Only diplomacy that Haig should exercise is to trick Tu, if it looks like he's not going with us, in regard to shooting his mouth off before the inaugural. He's got to work out some way to stop him from doing that. If he takes on Kissinger or the agreement, he takes on the president personally, and he's got to understand that. This session had gone for about 15 minutes when Ziegler arrived, and they took a break for a picture, and then we resumed, making the point that the president started the resumed session making a really general point as a matter of policy from now on, that all messages from the president or mentioning the president that go to other countries must be cleared with the president before they're transmitted. Also, it must be made clear that the president will see no Australian, Swedish, or Canadian representatives. The president then made the point that Kissinger is now the hottest property in the world from now to the 23rd. All the senators, etc., will need us more than we'll need them. And regarding Congress, Kissinger should not call the leaders and inform them. Instead, the procedure should be a matter-of-fact call by Kennedy and just read the Ziegler announcement. Say that Kissinger will not brief while the negotiations are in progress, and the Secretary of State nor anyone else will either. The President made the point that our enemies now will desperately try to sabotage us on this. He said that Kissinger must order the operators that he will accept no calls from Congress, press, etc. And that when Kissinger goes out is on the 24th on television for the press briefing. That's the first time Kissinger goes out. Then after that, he should brief all out, both friends and enemies. Kissinger agreed completely with this, said he would see no press or Congress, would accept no calls, attend no functions. I suggested increasing Kissinger's Secret Service in order to help keep the press away from him. And I'm concerned about the problem with the social functions like at the inaugural. On the Kennedy calls for notification, he should read Ziegler's announcement, say the president is meeting with Kissinger in Florida and I'm calling to inform you of the decision he's made. Ziegler will make his announcement at 11:30 tomorrow morning, saying that Kissinger is in Florida conferring with the president. We'll inform no one until 9 o'clock Monday morning. The form of the agreement calls for continuing reconnaissance flights. On the mining, the existing mines will stay in, but there will be no new placements. The marine mines will remain in place until the final settlement, though. Kissinger made the point that you have no idea how tense and nervous the North Vietnamese are on all of this. And then there was some discussion of the question of whether to change the wording to clarify mining, but it was agreed that we shouldn't do anything to change wording because they are so uptight. The president told Kissinger to get a message to Dobrynin and the Chinese tonight. Ziegler is to add to the announcement that in order to get the Congress and the press in position and straight arm any questions that go beyond this, that by mutual agreement there will be no discussion of any details of the negotiations because we will take no step that will jeopardize the peace. There will be no briefing of the leaders by mutual agreement. Henry said there's a technical problem because the text that we're releasing is not the same as the, well, there are two different texts, and there'll be some confusion on that. And, of course, the text won't be released until 9 o'clock in the morning. It won't be released the night the president's on television, which will stir him up. That's good because it forces the news to carry just what the president says and no backup. The plan then would be no Kissinger briefing on the 23rd. The president would do the big five for 5 minutes and the cabinet for 5 minutes. And then at 10 o'clock on the 24th, Kissinger briefs the bipartisan leaders, and at 12 o'clock he goes on TV in the EOB for a press conference. Henry raised the point of considering moving the release time to noon instead of 9 a.m. so they wouldn't have it to study ahead of time, and that wasn't resolved. Then there was discussion of Kissinger's trip for signing. He leaves Paris at 3 o'clock, arrives D.C., he says at 6 o'clock our time, it actually I think would be earlier. He'll be on, the president will be on at 10 o'clock. At the time Kissinger leaves Paris, we can go ahead and request TV time. Then there was some discussion of the announcement on the 18th, where it says we will resume private negotiations on the January 23rd in Paris in order to conclude the agreement. Some suggestion that we should say for the purpose of working out the final details or to conclude the final details or for the purpose of concluding the final details, but we went back to the original wording again so as not to upset the North Vietnamese by unnecessary changes. We got in the problem of release of the pictures. The North Vietnamese wanted to release the pictures they took of their meetings last week on Saturday. Now they've agreed to release them on the 19th. Ziegler's view is that we should wait till the 23rd, but again, we can't really do much about it. They also want an official picture of the initialing, but have agreed not to release that till the 24th. When Henry goes to Hanoi, we have to send our photographer and film crew and a pressman, and the president made a neat pitch for having Klein be that pressman, and it worked very well. At that point, the aide brought in Finch's memo regarding tone of announcement and procedure and all, which I read, and there was some discussion about that. Henry made the point that it would be bad to follow Finch's line because the president should not be nailed totally to this because we're dealing with maniacs and they may not keep the bargain. We can't make too much out of this because it might mousetrap us at a later point. Kissinger says we should do this in two stages. On the 23rd, we have only the president's speech and the Kissinger backgrounder. Then we should shut up till after the signing. Then after the 28th, with the International Commission in place, get selected people in to write the story and so on. Henry, president made the point that Henry must remember the purpose of his briefing is to stick it to our opponents, not to explain the intricacies of the settlement. He must say that the president got all his objectives, risked his political career to do it, and so on. The point is the president can't go out and say all this because he can't screw up the peace. First objective is to develop pride in the settlement, its soundness, and so forth. Haig made this point. And the president said, don't let any of the recommendations of the staff and our friends get to the president because he has to be responsible for what's right. They don't. Our liberal opponent wants to kill our foreign policy based on patriotism and national honor and so forth, and they resent that Nixon is doing this instead of John Kennedy. Then he had me review the vice president's offer to settle the Mideast, which was received as a big joke. The president said he had decided on no trip to Europe. Just let them come here. It isn't worth taking the risk now. Kissinger said, don't worry, the presidential image is not going to be tarnished as a result of the bombing once this has come full cycle. Regarding the president meeting with Tu, he said he can't go to Midway, but he will send the vice president, or he would see Tu at San Clemente. Henry thinks there's a 3 out of 4 chance that if we play it right, Hanoi will be a jewel to deal with like Peking, that they want a permanent relationship with us and economic aid. We're now the only ones they respect. They don't respect China or the Soviet, and they want to play us off against them. The president says we should have no illusions. We'll never get this across, the story, that is, even to our own people. Kissinger says, no, we will get it across like we did with Salt. He then turned to the Rogers problem and how to handle that, decided that Kissinger should talk to Rogers, Laird, and Moore. Kennedy should talk to Agnew. This would be done, Henry would do this in two pieces. This afternoon he'll call Rogers and say that they've met, give him a brief fill, and then late tonight he'll call him and tell him the president has looked the whole thing over and has now ordered a suspension of the bombing, and that he's called Moore and suspending it for 24 hours. Then tomorrow he'll make it a permanent suspension until the agreement's settled. He's concerned in calling Rogers that he'll try to get the thing lined up so State gets the credit. But President said, remind him that since he said at the NSC that it would take 4 to 6 weeks and that there's no agreement till there's an agreement, Henry should tell him we've settled the principles, but there's still some difficult details to work out. They then made the point that Laird's testimony last week could have killed the agreement, except that it happened to come on the day the North Vietnamese had caved. If it had come before, Laird would have probably sunk the agreement with his comment that we don't need an agreement anymore because South Vietnam is now able to take care of itself. He should tell Rogers that there's to be no testimony to anyone, that Kissinger will do nothing regarding press, Congress, and so forth. President warned that the silence is going to be very difficult because everybody, press, Congress, and so on, will be screaming. But it's good because it builds the deal. Henry then said, absolutely no purpose is served by saying one word. The president then made a long comparison to this whole thing to a poker game and told us of the time he once had a royal flush in a 5-card stud game with the ace in the hole, and then on the next 4 cards up he drew the king, then the queen, then the jack, then the 10 of diamonds. Another guy had a full house. The president played his hand as if he had nothing in order to keep the other people in the game and thus build up the stake. He says, we're sitting on a royal flush now, but we won't get a big pot unless we're mum. It's the time to bluff is when you have nothing. The time to keep quiet is when you have the cards. Kissinger said, well, that's right. I had to use my prestige back in November and so on to keep them confused, but now there's absolutely no need to do that. But after it's signed, Kissinger should do an extensive briefing. Henry suggested that we should put together a chronology on all of what happened. At no time did the president disagree with the agreement. He had always... Yes? All right. He had always seen the Saigon problem. And the communists changed their ground, but now we've got them. Kissinger could, the week of the 23rd, do some exclusive backgrounders to keep our story out, to tip the specials our way, maybe meet with Severide, Chancellor, and Smith, and so on. Also, Kissinger's got to brief our own people, Bush, Scally, Ehrlichman, Schultz, Ash, and so on, and he should call Connally and do that alone. The president wants me to call Connally in the morning, then after the meeting, he got me aside and said to call him tonight. Also, Billy Graham, Rockefeller, Reagan, and Johnson. Alex should call the cabinet. Kennedy calls the big 5 leaders and the VP. Kissinger takes care of Rogers, Laird, and Moore. The president raised the question of whether on the 18th we should say that the president will brief the Congress on the Kissinger's return, and it was agreed that we should not because that would imply an agreement is already set. Henry made the point that the president took the toughest course in December. He turned on both of the Vietnams, which was what was the best for us for the long haul, but the hardest thing to do at the time. Henry then reviewed the whole schedule. On Monday, we suspend the bombing. That'll be acknowledged by the DRV in a conciliatory statement. Tuesday and Wednesday, they do the protocol work on the technical matters. Thursday, there's a joint announcement with the DRV at noon regarding meeting on the 23rd, and there'll be a regular session of the peace talks in Paris. Friday, we inform the French that we want Avenue Kleber housed for the Tuesday meeting, and We've agreed to tell them nothing of substance. On Tuesday, they meet at 9:30, initial at 12:30, leave at 2:15, Kissinger's on the plane by 3 and airborne, and then we request TV time and announce the meeting with the leaders in the cabinet. The TV announcement's at 10 o'clock our time that night. We announce that the agreement is settled and that it will be signed on the 27th, and that the ceasefire will begin at... I guess we don't announce the ceasefire at that time. The president told Kissinger to write two versions of the television speech of 700 maximum word length, one with two going along, the other without two. Then Wednesday we publish the text. There's a Kissinger briefing with the press on TV, the diplomatic activity, setting up the signing, and so on. Thursday, we cancel the peace talks. Friday, Rogers goes to Paris. Saturday is the signing ceremony in Paris. Two different ceremonies, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. Then at midnight Saturday night, Greenwich Mean Time, which is 6 o'clock our time, the ceasefire goes into effect. Sunday, the Control Commission arrives in South Vietnam and meets. Wednesday the 31st, we announce Henry's trip to Hanoi for post-war relationships. He leaves on the 4th, Sunday, and arrives on the 8th. The president raised the question considering sending Agnew to Saigon to handle the time Henry goes, or after Henry goes to Hanoi, as a counterbalance. Decided to tie Henry's Peking trip to his Hanoi trip, but not he should not go to Japan, maybe also to Bangkok, or Agnew go to Bangkok. Henry's promised a presidential message to North Vietnam regarding principles governing our actions on economic aid. This will be done as a voluntary action by us after the signing, and none of that will start until the prisoners are back. The president then read from the Fairley book regarding our NSC system and Kissinger's operation. There was some general discussion, the point being that the great blot on America is not the bombing, but would have been if we had followed Laird's course and ended up fighting the whole war just to get the prisoners back. Kissinger says if we can keep the peace afloat for a year, and we certainly can't keep it for a lot longer than that, we'll have a totally different world to deal in. Now we have to move to dealing with China to build some pressure against the Soviet. China doesn't want Indochina run from Hanoi, so we have a good arrangement with them. The president said now we have to turn to the Middle East. Rogers is just panting to do something there. We have to work it out. Kissinger said the only way to settle it is pressure on Israel. There was some discussion of how Haig has to hardline the whole thing with Tu, making the point that, again, that it's not something optional for him to decide, that he's got to do it and he's got to understand it. Kissinger had made this point to Tu's envoys and thinks effectively so. The president said the line the opposition will put out is that Congress forced the mad bomber president to stop the mining and bombing, and as a result of his stopping, we were able to get the settlement. So Kissinger will have to give some very precise briefings after the announcement, but we should let us schedule his time. The objective here is the honor of this country, and a country without honor has no authority. We then all walked out, had some general conversation, and that ended the meeting 4 hours after it started. End of January 14th. Monday, January 15th, continuation of Sunday, January 14th. After I dictated the report for Sunday, I had dinner with Kissinger, which I scheduled in order to keep him from going out to dinner and getting caught in the public down here. So we ate in his villa, had a 3-hour chat alone, which was quite productive, went through the whole history, story, and status on the Vietnam thing again, which he likes to reiterate. Then got into a lot of the details of and specifics on the announcement schedule and timing. And then reviewed personnel, the ambassador appointments, State Department changes, and that sort of thing. Henry really wanted, however, to get into a long discussion with me, which he did, regarding the question of the president's confidence in him. He's concerned that the stories that he keeps reading may be partly or totally true. That is, that the president has lost confidence in him, that there is a division between the two of them, that there are problems there. And he constantly seeks reassurance on this point because it does bother him. I told him that there wasn't any problem with the president having confidence in him substantively, but the president does get concerned about the whole business of Henry talking to the left-wing set in the campuses and media, etc., and that it's not because he feels he's influenced by or influences the left-wing, but rather that it gives them status to have that contact with Kissinger, and that that's to our disinterest, and that that's what bothers the president on that subject. He basically understands, but is compulsively unable to do anything about it, although he protests over and over that he understands the point of this week having no contact with any of these people and promises that he won't. I think he'll try to follow up on that. I'm not sure he's constitutionally able to do so. The point of his concern is basically valid, but there's nothing much that can be done about it unless he decides to do so. End of January 14th.